to try to find a sugya that would be a little bit in Yom HaYom in terms of Hanukkah, but would still be part of our series a little bit also in terms of in Yom HaYom Yisrael. We'll try to see whether we can span across both topics. So the sugya that we're going to try to discuss is the unique status of a neis in Eretz Yisrael in contrast to a neis b'chutz la'aretz. In fact, there is a halachic category of neis, and there are halachic responses that we have to take when a miracle, when a neis occurs. And the Gemara discusses possible differences where, in fact, geographically the neis occurs. So the sugya really begins in the first Siddur Ma'amakomus, and the second is Megillah, Daf Yudalad, Amud Aleph. It's a famous Gemara. We spoke about this in many different contexts over the years. So the Gemara begins, Tanur Rabbanan, Arbar Mushmona Neviim v'Sheva Neviyos Nisnabalem LiYisrael, that there are 48 Neviim and 7 Neviyos we have recorded v'lo pichzu v'lo sivru amashikasa b'Torah, that out of all of the Neviim and the Neviyos, so none of them have added a mitzvah to the Torah, none of them ever detracted a mitzvah from the Torah. Shouldn't come as a surprise because they're not allowed to do that. That a Navi is not supposed to add something to the Torah. There are two different potential issurim involved in adding a mitzvah to the Torah. One is an issur of baptosif, of just stam adding, and then there's an additional prohibition. If a Navi adds, v'ruach ha'nevuah, if a Navi comes and says that he has a nevuah from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that there's a 614th mitzvah, or he has a nevuah from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that one of the mitzvahs doesn't apply anymore. So that's outright the Navi shek, and then we know for sure that he is a false Navi. So the Gemara says that all the Neviim, all the Neviyah, so they didn't add anything, they didn't detract from the Torah. Chutzim mikra megillah. The only thing which in the days of Nevi'im, towards the end of the period of the Nevi'im, that was added to the mitzvah Satar was the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah. So the Gemara says, my Dorosh, why was that an exception? What right did they have? What drasha did they have in the days of Mordechai the Esther that gave them the right to add on the mitzvah? So Amra B'chibar Abed, Amra B'shur Ben Korach, I'm sorry, Umame Abdus B'cheiras Amrin Anshira, B'misa L'chaim L'kol Shekein, that they didn't really add on to the mitzvah Satar, but rather they found precedent in the Chumash itself for the concept of the celebration of Purim. Then they derive from a kavachomer. Ma me avdos lecheiros when Klai Yisrael were taken out of Mitzrayim, particularly at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf. So the Torah records that they said a shira that they sang as Yashir. So in Misa lechayim, the Yeshua that took place in the days of Purim was a greater Yeshua than the Yeshua that took place in the days of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The days of Yetzias Mitzrayim wasn't an issue of life and death. It was only an issue of slavery versus freedom. And still, even for such a Yeshua, low-level Yeshua, we recite a Shira. So Kavachomer for the Yeshua from Misa L'chaim, such as occurred in the days of Purim. So ask the Gemara, Ihachi Halel Nami Neima. So let us, in fact, recite Halel on Purim. If we really want to have the Kavachomer, that we're supposed to recite a Shira, just as we recited Shira by Az Yashir. So we should recite Shira, we should say Halel on Purim as well. So answers the Gemara, the Pesha Ein Omim Halel Neisha B'chutz La'aretz. That really, the Neis of Purim would have warranted a Kriyas HaHalel. The only reason why we don't recite a Halel on the Neis of Purim is a technical issue, because it's a different type of a Neis that occurs outside of Eretz Yisrael, for whatever technical reason we'll see as we go on, does not warrant the recitation of Halel. So ask the Gemara, Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Neis of B'chutz La'aretz, Techi Amrin and Shira. Wait a second, the prototype of a Neis, the prototype of Shira, was actually Yetzias Mitzrayim, was Kriyas Yamsuf. So if you're going to tell me that the halacha requires that a neis occur in Eretz Yisrael in order to have to recite Shira, to say Hallel, so how do we ever say as Yoshe Moshe? How do we say Hallel on Pesach? How do we celebrate the Nisma Pesach? Why don't we say that those events took place outside of Eretz Yisrael? Says the Gemara, no, it's not a question. Keep the sign. We learned in a brisa, Ach lo nichnesu Yisrael la'aretz, huksuru kol ha'ratzos lo mashira. Until Klal Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael, i.e. in the days of the Yetzias Mitzrayim, so then one can recite Hallel and Shira for any nace that occurs anywhere in the world. Once Klal Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael, then this halacha kicks in, then this halacha begins, Ein Omim Hallel ala Neishi b'chutz la'aretz. So the Gemara sticks to its first answer, that in fact there is a fundamental difference between the Neis of Purim and the Neis of Yetzias Mitzrayim, even though one occurred in Eretz Yisrael, even though both of them occurred outside of Eretz Yisrael, but one of them occurred before Eretz Yisrael was in a sense chosen, before Klal Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael, whereas the other one occurred after Eretz Yisrael had already been designated as the place for Klal Yisrael. So this is the first Malach in the Gemara. Then the Gemara gives a totally different answer. Rav Nachman Amar Kriyasa Zohilula. Rav Nachman says that the reason why we don't say Hallel on Purim is for a totally technical reason, because we really do say Hallel on Purim by reading read in the Megillah, that the Kriyas HaMegillah doubles as a Kriyas HaHalel. So according to Rav Nachman, it's clear that we should have said Halel on Purim. There's nothing holding us back from saying Halel on Purim. The only thing is that we already say it basically in the form of Kriyas HaMegillah. Rava Amar, Rava gives a third approach to this question. Bishlama Hasam by Yitzias Mitzrayim. So we could say Halu Avdi Hashem, Halu Avdi Paro. The implication is that we're free. We're no longer Avadim to Paro. So therefore we can say the words of Halu. Halahocha, Halu Avdi Hashem, Halu Avdi Hashverosh. What are we going to say? Nebuchadnezzar Purim. We're going to get up and say Halu Avdi Hashem. It's not true. Akati Avdi Hashverosh. We were in Golos before Purim. We're still in Golos after Purim. Nothing changed politically for Christ. So Mordechai was appointed as the top of the government, and Esther the queen, and wonderful, but at the end of the day, they were living under a non-Jewish rule, non-Jewish government, and therefore, Takati Abdi Achashverosh Anon. So there are three different answers in the Gemara, Tachlis, why we don't say Halal on Purim. So one is because of nation B'chutzlar, the other is because Kriyas Azuah Hilula, and the third one is because there's a Chisaron in Akati Abdi Achashverosh Anon. So the Gemara continues, according to the last two answers that were given, which had nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael, they were just technical issues of Kriyas HaZoher Lulav, or a Akati Avdi HaChashverosh Anan. So Kasha, we have the following problem. There's a Braisa, the Tanoim already laid down this rule for us, that you only say Halal on a Nes in Eretz Yisrael. So what are the Amoraim searching for other reasons? What are they giving you other stories that were Yaitse Halal with the Kriyas HaMegillah? Or it's Akati Avdi HaChashverosh. The reason that the Gemara gave in the beginning that Lahukshu Kalaratus Loma Shira was given by the Tanoim already, was already a Braisa, so everybody agrees to that. So how come the Amoraim had to search for other reasons? Answers the Gemara, no, but the other Amoraim, Rava and Rav Nachman, understood that when Klal Yisrael went into Golos, namely in the days of Churban Bayis Rishon, which is in fact the period, the historical period that the Nes of Purim took place in, so at that period of time, they were not really in Eretz Yisrael anymore. There was the Zman HaGolos, it was Zman HaChorban. So Bezman HaGolos, if a Nes occurs in Chutz La'aretz, then you can say Halal for such a Nes. The Klal of Eino Mshira, a nation in Chutz La'aretz, means if everything is Shalom Kitikunam, Klal Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael, there's a base of Mikdash and everything, and you have a Jewish community that's living in Chutz La'aretz, and a Nes occurs to them, so then there's no Halal for such a Nes. But if Klal Yisrael is B'shas Chorban, so then that rule of Eino Mhalal, Halal, a nation in Eretz Yisrael, no longer applies. So basically what happens, what comes out of our Gemara is as follows. Everybody agrees that the Ikaron, there is a principle of Ein Omrim Halal Al Anesha B'chutz La'aretz. That's the basic starting point. That's a Braisa, that's a Tanoim. Everybody agrees to that Klal. Everybody also agrees that that Klal only kicked in once Nichnasu Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. Prior to the days of Yeshua Ben Nun, that rule was irrelevant. That's why we celebrate Pesach. That's why we say Halal Pesach. That's why we sing Az Yashir. That Klal of Ein Omrim Halal Al Anesha B'chutz La'aretz, according to everybody, did not begin until Klal Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael. The Machlekes and the Gemara is that Klal suspended B'shas HaChorban, or is it no, that once the Klal started, then the Klal remains Le'olam V'od. So the Nafkamina is L'gavi Purim. Should you say Halal and Purim or not? So at the end of the day, nobody says Halal and Purim, but for very different reasons. So one Amora says you don't say it because it's Chutzvaretz, and the other two Amoraim say you don't say it for the technical reason that we mentioned above. Of course, when it comes to Chanukah, so none of the reasons apply in Chanukah, and that's in fact why we do say Halal in Chanukah. First of all, Halal of Chanukah, of course, took place in Eretz Yisrael, and the issue of Kriyas Azuah Hilula is irrelevant. There is no Kriyas HaMegillah, there is no other mitzvah in Chanukah that could possibly take the place of Kriyas HaHalal. Halakha's Neiris, that's not a Kriya, so that's a different type of a mitzvah. And Akati Avdei HaChashverosh Anan also doesn't apply because when the Chashmonaim were victorious, so they overthrew the rule of the Greeks, at least partially in Eretz Yisrael, so at least in Yerushalayim they overthrew the rule of the Greeks at the time of Chanukah. So therefore they can in fact say Halu Avdei Hashem, and they wouldn't be barred with Akati Avdei Antiochus Anan. So when it comes to Halal and Chanukah, everybody agrees that there is Halal. When it comes to Halal and Purim, everyone agrees there is no Halal, but the reasons why there are no Halal are up for grants. So really, in terms of understanding this klal of Ein Omrim Halal Al Neshe B'chutz La'aretz, we have to really understand the basic reason for the klal in the first place, and then we have to understand why it should or should not apply Bizman HaChorban. So there is a Marsha, and it's in the second Marim Kom, it's not printed out, the Marsha in Maseches Erechin, where this Gemara appears as well. The Maharshal comments that he thinks that the reason why Ein Omrim Halal Neshev Chutzlaret is related to a comment of the Ramban that we've spoke a little bit about in the past in slightly different context than some of the Shiurim. We mentioned, I think it was two or three weeks ago, the famous Shittas Ramban that appears in several places in Chumash, where the Ramban says that the Ikar Makom of Mitzvahs is in Eretz Yisrael. Now the Ramban doesn't never meant to say that one doesn't have to observe Mitzvahs in Chutzlaret. That's clearly not the case. Whichever Mitzvahs are not Tluyas Ba'aretz, whichever Mitzvahs are not agricultural, so those mitzvahs, of course apply min haTorah in Chutz La'aretz, but nevertheless the nature of the Kiyama mitzvah of Chutz La'aretz is different than in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is the Ika Chiyam of mitzvahs, and Chutz La'aretz is more of a hachana, it's a preparation to keep us going to eventually get back to Eretz Yisrael. So yes, we're mechuyav min haTorah in Chutz La'aretz, but the Ika Makom mitzvahs is Eretz Yisrael. That's why the Ramban developed his Yisod, that Kodem Matan Torah, when the Avos volunteered to observe mitzvahs, so they only volunteered to observe mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael. Since Chutz La'aretz is not the real makom of mitzvahs anyway, and it's Eina B'tzuva V'yaisa, since the others weren't obligated in the first place, so they didn't volunteer in Chutz La'aretz. That's why Yaakov married two sisters, Dafka in Chutz La'aretz. It's a famous Ramban that appears in a few places in Chumash. So in that Ramban, the Ramban also develops the idea that the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael is different in Eretz Yisrael than it is in Chutz La'aretz. Commenting on the Psukim in Parshas Eker, that Pasuk singles out Eretz Yisrael and says that Eretz Asher Tamid Eina Hashem Alekecha Ba Bereishis Hashana Verachmas Hashana Verach Hashana. So what does that mean, that Tamid Eina Hashem Alekecha Ba? So the Ramban develops an idea, he develops a little bit more after Kabbalah also, but we'll leave it more in terms that we can deal with a little bit. He develops the notion that the Hashgacha Pratis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists much clearer in Eretz Yisrael, that the relationship is more direct between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, Dafke and Eretz Yisrael, and in Chutz La'aretz, so there are other things that are taking place also, other kochos, not chas v'shalom in the divine sense of the word, but there's the same way the Gemara says that there are certain kochos of kochavim, whatever that means exactly, that certain forces in the world, but the Gemara says that ein mazal Yisrael, that the Klal Yisrael can be lifted above those forces. So comes the Ramban and says that basic absolute hashgacha pratis that exists, so that hashgacha exists primarily in Eretz Yisrael, doesn't really exist in Chutz La'aretz. So therefore the Maharsha says, based on this idea of the Ramban, again whatever the parameters of the Ramban are, it's hard for us to understand, but the Maharsha says perhaps that's the reason why a neis of Chutz La'aretz is a different type of a neis, that a neis that takes place in Eretz Yisrael, so that's a neis that's mamish directly by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mamish straightforward hashgacha straight from the Ribbono Shel Olam, whereas nisim that occur in Chutz La'aretz are more natural types of events, things which are not exactly directly correlated to the Hashgacha Pratis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore the way we celebrate such Nisim is different, and therefore we only reserve Hallel, the saying of Shira is reserved for only those Nisim that come Mamish with direct Hashgacha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Maharsha's understanding of what that is all about. One could perhaps suggest a little bit of a different answer, a different reason why Ein Omrim Halal Ela Neshev Chutz La'aretz, that it's not so much a function of the Olmos HaElyonim in terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's manning the world, but maybe it's more of a function in terms of Klal Yisrael. It's a general rule, so we recite Halal on Nisim that affect the Tzibur, that affect Klal Yisrael as a whole. When a Yochid experiences a Nes, so he thanks HaKadosh Baruch Hu and other things, but usually the recitation of Halal is reserved for Nisim that affect the Tzibur. So perhaps one can argue that the Tzibur of Klal Yisrael really exists primarily in Eretz Yisrael. We've already seen this Yisod before. We saw this Yisod concerning Kiddush HaChodesh, that it's only Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael who declare when Rosh Chodesh is, and we saw this in terms of Kiddush HaSmicha, that it's only the Talmid HaChacham in Eretz Yisrael who determined that we could start over the Mesorah again if Moshe Kibbutz Torah B'Sinai. Now we've seen this many times, that when you have a lot of Jews living in Chutz La'aretz, so there may be a lot of Jews, but they're basically living as Yechidim. They don't really form together as a unit in terms of its Tzibur. The definition of Klal Yisrael is really Api Halacha, the Jewish people living in Eretz Yisrael. So maybe that's the reason why a nation of Chutz La'aretz falls short in terms of recitation of Hallel, but maybe a nation of Chutz La'aretz is viewed by the Halacha more as a nace of a Yochid rather than a nace of Klal Yisrael as a whole. So again, whether one goes the root of the Maharsha, that it's more esoteric in terms of how the nation is presented by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whether it's more direct than indirect, or whether you go the root of that it's more of a function of the role of Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz La'aretz, the mice of the rule exists. The mice of the Gemara is the favorite to be such a klal. The Ein Omrim Halal Neshev B'Chutz La'aretz. But in the Gemara, we had a machlokes whether this klal holds true once the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, once the Klaiso went into Golos in the days of the Bais Rishon, was that rule still intact or not? What should that depend on? What should that issue be? Who should be right in that machlokes whether that klal falls by the wayside once the Churban comes, or that klal remains intact? So perhaps this is related to a sugya that we haven't quite touched upon yet. We mentioned a little bit in passing over the last couple of weeks, but hopefully Mr. Sherman can get back to the regular Yisrael stuff, so we'll have to really analyze this sugya a little bit more carefully. Let's just look at it for a moment. The issue that the Rambam raises in Uchas Trumas, on the third of the Maimakamos, the Rambam in Uchas Trumas, Perek Aleph Alachahei. So the Rambam discusses what exactly and when exactly is Eretz Yisrael considered to be Kadosh. The Rambam is speaking primarily about Inyanim of Trumas and Maishas and Shemitah, the Mitzvah Tzuris Baretz. So the Rambam writes, Kol Shech Ziku Olim Mitzrayim, any geographic area, any part of Eretz Yisrael that was conquered by the Olim Mitzrayim in the days of Yeshua Ben Nun, when it's Kadosh Kedusha Rishona, and it was thereby endowed with Kedusha, Kevin Shegol Ba'lu Kedusha Asim. Once Klaiso went into Golos, so the Kedusha disappeared. She Kedusha Rishona Lefisha since the first Kedusha came about only through Kibush, only through military conquest, so therefore once the Kibush was gone, Kitchel the Shaitim or Kitchel the Salavag. So Kedusha Rishona was Betela, and therefore in the days, the 70 years following Churban Bais Rishon, Trumas and Isis and Shemitah did not exist in HaTorah, maybe the Rabban they existed, but in HaTorah they did not exist at all, because the Kedusha Zaharetz was Betela. What happened in the days of Baisheni? Came in Sha'olu ben Hagola. Once they came back in the days of Baisheni, Ve'echziku b'miktsa sa'aretz, and then they took over part of the land. They never conquered the land. There never was a military conquest in the days of Ezra, but they lived in part of the land, not in all the land. It was a much smaller Jewish community than existed in the days of Bais Rishon. Kitshua kedusha shnia. So that living there, what we call the chazak or the yish of ha'aretz, that which they moved into Eretz Yisrael, they were makadosh Eretz Yisrael a second time around, and that Kedusha Shniya is Kedusha Shniya Medes Ba'olam B'Shaita Le'osad Lavo. That Kedusha remains intact in full force Adayim Azeh. This is the Shita Sarabam, that Kedusha Rishona was Betela, Kedusha Shniya is Kayemis. Where does this come from? What's this based on? So hopefully in weeks to come we'll analyze this Ram a little bit further. Ram got it from Gemara Maseches Yevamos, from Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Maseches Yevamos. Such a distinction between Kedusha Rishona in contrast to Kedusha Shniya. So a kopana, what the Rambam is telling us is that Kedusha Rishona was Taka Betela, that the 70 years of Golos, of Churban Bais Rishon, for all practical purposes in terms of Kedusha Sa'aretz, Eretz Yisrael, in a sense, ceased to exist, at least vis-a-vis agriculture. So perhaps it's this Rambam that is the root of the sugya in Maseches Megillah and Daki Dalam and Aleph. The Amoraim are debating whether this klal of Ein Omrim Halal Neshe B'chutz La'aretz was applicable during the time of the Churban, during those 70 years, which was the critical time, because that's in fact when the Neshe Purim took place. So during those 70 years, would we call Eretz Yisrael B'kedushasa, or would we call Eretz Yisrael La B'kedushasa? If you hold like the Rambam that Eretz Yisrael was La B'kedushasa, that the original Kedusha was Nisbatla, so then one could argue, then all of Chutz La'aretz becomes subject potentially to Nisim. It's the only time that you don't say a Halal Nation B'chutz La'aretz, that's only when you have Eretz Yisrael. When Eretz Yisrael is B'kedushasa, so then all other lands are disqualified. But if Eretz Yisrael is not B'kedushasa, then it's like Kodem Shenichnas U'Klaisol Eretz Yisrael. It's like before the days of Yeshua Ben Nun. So just as in the days of Yetzias Mitzrayim, you could say Halal for a miracle that's taking place in Egypt, so too you could say Halal for a Nes that's taking place in Persia, because Eretz Yisrael didn't exist in terms of Kedushas Aretz. But if you reject the Rambam, if you hold that Kedusha Rishona was Kitcha L'Shaita V'Kitcha L'Yasad Lavo, that Eretz Yisrael remained in full force Kedusha even during the time of Churban, then the Chora we have to conclude that therefore Ein Omrim Halal Neshe B'chutz La'aretz. So maybe that's good for the Machlokes in the Gemara, where the Kedusha Sa'aretz was Betela, where the Kedusha Sa'aretz was Kayemes during those 70 years. It's somewhat hard to understand this idea that this is what they're arguing about, because we've already said this several times. When we speak about Eretz Yisrael, there are two very, very different aspects of Eretz Yisrael that we refer to. We speak about Eretz Yisrael as Kedushas Karka, which is really an agricultural statement, which affects Trumas and Maisim and Shemitah and Bikurim and Lechet Shechopeya, other mitzvahs that please Baretz. And then there are other milas and other aspects of Eretz Yisrael which have nothing to do with agriculture, which have to do with the milas of Eretz Yisrael being the Mokom Eretz HaNivcheres. This is the area Kadosh Baruch Hu chose. This is the area Kadosh Baruch Hu watches over. This is the place where Klai Yisrael is supposed to be. So we've already seen this idea. We saw this in Ramban, in the beginning of Masechet Gittin a couple of weeks ago. that it could be that even if there's no Kedushas HaAretz B'zman HaZeh vis-a-vis Karka, there may still be a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael B'zman HaZeh according to the Ramban. There is a mitzvah according to the Ramban to live in Eretz Yisrael today. So just because Kedusha disappears doesn't necessarily mean all the other miles disappear. So the Chora, the mile that Eretz Yisrael has, that you say Halal on a nation of Eretz Yisrael, not a Chutz La'aretz, what does that have to do with the ground? What does that have to do with the mud, with the dirt of Eretz Yisrael? What does that have to do with agriculture? That has to do with either the Mashos Pshat, or that's the Macham Ashkoch of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or our suggestion, that's the place where Klal Yisrael are considered to be a Tzibur in contrast to Chutz La'aretz, where they're just a big group of Yechidim. What does that have to do? Ma'inyin Zeh, the Kedusha, Ma'inyin Zeh, the Kedusha's Karka. So the Chorot ought to believe that that's really the issue that's taking place in the Sugya. Maybe that's good for the Machlokes in the Sugya. Maybe that's in fact why some Amoraim held that even if Kedushas Haaretz is Betela, but the Maila of Eretz Yisrael is still there. So again, it's hard to know what exactly Amoraim are arguing about, but one thing we know for sure, there is a Machlokes. There's no question about it, that there was a Machlokes in Megillah Daf Yedaleh and Aleph, whether the 70 years of Bavel, the Churban Bayis Rishon, this man goes Bavel, were Uyum Lekach to say Shira up in the Nase of Purim. But again, in terms of Chanukah, it doesn't make a difference, because in terms of Chanukah, they were already back in Eretz Yisrael. It was already by Sheni. So the Chol HaDeis, you can say hello. Right, right. So there is a machlokes. There is a machlokes Rambam and the Rabbi, which is in a sense a flip side. The Rambam says even if Kedushas Eretz Yisrael is Betela, but Kedushas Hamikdash is Kayemis, and the Rabbi says the other way around, that even if Kedushas Eretz Yisrael is Kayemis, Kedushas Hamikdash is Betela. In Ochinami, there may be some correlation between the same Hal and the Mikdash. The only problem is the Gemara words it as Ein Omrim Hal Anesha B'Chutz La'aretz. The Gemara doesn't make mention of the concept of Machom HaMikdash. So the Gemara seems to give it as the category of Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz La'aretz. So I don't know, maybe that would lead us to shy away from relating it to that Machlokes the Rambam and the Ravi. So our Kopanim, at least when it comes back to the Nes of Chanukah, we're pretty confident that we can recite Hallel. We don't have any problems in terms of it taking where it took place geographically. In terms of Kriyas Zuhi Halula, doesn't seem to be an issue. There is no Kriya of any other Megillah that takes place on Chanukah. But the latest condition that the Gemara gives has to be analyzed in order to understand the Nes of Chanukah properly. And what the Gemara says, that when it comes to Purim, we cannot say Hallel, because Hallel Avdei Hashem below Avdei Achashverosh. Masha Ein Kein, Chanukah presumably, so that issue doesn't apply anymore. When it comes to Chanukah, so somehow we have no qualms, we have no problems saying Hallel Avdei Hashem. So perhaps it's this Gemara Maseches Megillah that caused the Rambam to present the Nes of Chanukah in a somewhat unique way. The Rambam in the fourth of the Maimakamos, in the very beginning of Ukhus Megillah B'Chanukah, Parag Gimel B'Cha'alaf, the first two Prakam deal with Megillah and the last two deal with Chanukah. So the Rambam begins giving you a historical background to the Nes of Chanukah. So Rabbi Yesheni, famous Rambam, Kishemochu Yavon, goes with Gezeiros HaYisrael, so there were decrees against Klal Yisrael, Bitludotam, they were against their religion, Lo Nichosam Lasik B'Terem Mitzvahs, they wouldn't let them learn Torah and do mitzvahs, Upashti Yadim B'Mamona B'Vinoseyam, that they took away their money and they took away their daughters, V'Nichlas V'Lahechol, Apritzus V'Apritzus, V'Timotaris, because of all the things that we celebrate at Chanukah, V'Tzalahem, Yisrael ma'od mipneim v'lochtum lachetz gadol atcherichem aleim alokei abiseinu until Hakadosh Baruch Hu had rachmanos on us v'oshia miyodam and he saved us v'yitzilam v'gavu b'chashmenai k'lanim v'gedoylim v'hargum v'oshia Yisrael miyodam. And now comes the Rambam to the punchline. The Rambam doesn't even begin to discuss the nace of the Pach Hashem, and that's in the next halacha, but we're not interested in that right now. The Rambam is still describing the Yeshua itself, the actual being saved from the Yevanim. And the Rambam adds on the following line, the grand finale of the nace of Chanukah. V'hemidu melech min ha-kehanim, v'chazra malchus v'yisrael, yesra masayim shana arachur ben hasheni. So says the Rambam, they appointed a king from one of the Kehanim, from the Malchus Beis Hashmonai, and there was in fact Malchus Yisrael, that there were Jewish kings in Eretz Yisrael for over 200 years until Churban Bayis Sheni. So the Rambam incorporates that historical fact into the Nes of Chanukah. So you have to stop and ask yourself, why is that important necessarily? The Rambam could have just as easily stopped by right before the Midu Melech, that means the Rebbe Shalom gave them a tremendous yeshua. They bumped out the Yavanim, they kicked out the Yavanim, they got the Beis HaMikdash back, they cleaned it up. That's a reason for rejoicing. And then the reason for the halakas neiros is for the nathan of Baruch Hashem, which the Rambam talks about in the very next halacha. Why did the Rambam feel the necessity to tell us a little bit about Jewish history in the Bayi Sheni, about that there was Malachim from Kohanim? Why is that important? So perhaps the Rambam is alluding to this Gemara Maseches Megillah, that if the Yeshua would not have culminated with Malchus Yisrael, that would have been a problem. That would have been a chisarn in the Etzem HaNeis. If we would have still been under foreign rule, let's say for argument's sake, so we would have been fighting against the Greeks, and the Greeks would have said, okay, you know what? Well, we're going to get rid of all the gezeiros. No more gezeiros anymore. You can learn, you can do mitzvahs, you can sit in kohen, do whatever you want, but we're still in charge. That we're still going to be the Greek rule here. So you get the impression from the Rambam, we would not have the Yom Tov Chanukah, that if that nekuda wouldn't have taken place, that Hamidu Melech min HaKehanim, v'chazu Malchus v'yisoh yetzal b'sam shana, v'churim b'yis ha-sheni, so it sounds like, according to the Rambam, there wouldn't have been a reason for rejoice. Why not? It was a tremendous Yeshua. Yeah, maybe we would have rejoiced, but we wouldn't have been saying Hallel, because to say Hallel, it has to be Hallel Avdei Hashem, Lo Avdei Parov, Lo Avdei Achashverosh, Lo Avdei Antiochus, that if we still would have remained under Greek rule politically, that would have been a pagam in the Etzem HaNeis, and we would not have been able to recite Hallel. This particular formulation of the Rambam, picks up on this notion that Hamidu Melech min HaKohanim is such an integral part of the Neis. So this seems to be in contrast to the way other Rishonim present it, particularly the Ramban. The Ramban is the Perush and Chumash in Parshas Vayechi, when Yaakov Avinu gives a bracha to the Shvatim. So the bracha that he gives to Yehuda is Lo Yosa Shevet Yehuda, that the Melochim will always be from Shevet Yehuda. So the Ramban writes that this wasn't just a Haftacha, this wasn't just a Nevuah, but this was a Din, this was a Halacha, that Yaakov is telling us that you're not allowed to have Melochim not from Shevet Yehuda. And if a person is Namin and Melech not from Shevet Yehuda, he's in violation of an Issa Deraisa called Lo Yosa Shevet Yehuda. That's the Ramban's reading of this pasuk. Then the Ramban not only interprets the pasuk this way, then goes on to give you his take on history. So the Ramban says, and he thinks that's the reason why the Chashmonaim ultimately failed. It means Bizman Chanukah, so says the Ramban, the first generation of Chashmonaim. The Ramban speaks in the most glowing terms. They were Chasidei Elyon, and the Ramban writes, and if not for those early Chashmonaim, Matisyahu and his sons, Nishtacha Torah Yisrael. We never would have the Torah today. The Jewish people would have ceased to exist if not for the courage and their ability to bring the Torah back to Klal Yisrael. So the Ramban says, as great as that first generation of Chashmonaim were, the subsequent generation of Chashmonaim were disaster. We know the Gemara talks about there were civil wars, they were killing each other, Rabbi Stublus and Hurkin, everyone was killing each other, and the Yana, it was a disaster for a disaster, the Malchus Chashmonaim. So the Ramban says, where did that disaster come from? Why did it come about? How did they have such a terrible downfall? So the Ramban writes, because they violated this Pasuk in Chumash, Loyosa Shevet Yehuda, that they usurped the Malchus from themselves, and they weren't supposed to. They should have remained the Kehanim, and they should have appointed someone from Shevet Yehuda to be the Melech, and that's what the course of history should have taken, but it didn't go that way, and therefore the Chashmonaim were ultimately destroyed, to such a point that the Gemara tells us in Maseches Kiddushin, it's coming up in the fourth parak of Rav Yomi, where the Gemara tells us that Kol Omer that Beis Chashmonaim, I think we just had it the other day. Yeah, yes, they just kept today's off. I knew it was around there. You ever take? So Kol Omer Beis Chashmonaim, no, so as an Eved, you can assume that he's an Eved, because all the Chashmonaim were basically wiped out. So the Ramban says that was all an Einish for the violation of the Yosef Shevet Yehuda. So the Ramban views the Chashmonaim as tremendous in terms of their spiritual capacity. What they accomplished in the spiritual realm was unbelievable, as Murder Chassidei Elyon, but politically it was a disaster what they did, and it brought about ultimately the downfall of themselves. Whereas the Rambam doesn't seem to present it this way. The Rambam incorporates that into the Neis. If the Rambam held like the Ramban, that was such a disaster, that they appointed a king, so that's a reason to celebrate. How could the Rambam write, V'milu melech menakehanim, as a good thing? The Rambam seems to be not only sanctioning it, the Rambam seems to be saying that's a cause for celebration. According to the Ramban, that was an issa deraisa, a cause for crying. So it seems to be the Rambam in Hilchos Chanukah is taking a different stand than the Ramban in terms of the possibility, the permissibility of appointing kings out of Shevet Yehuda. There is a little bit of a problem, because the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvahs writes that Yitaka not allowed to appoint the king not from Shevet Yehuda. The Rambam writes, when the Pasuk says, Losucha Losei Salecha Ish Nochri, you're not allowed to appoint a king who's not a born Jew, So even in the Constitution, they figured that out. That's why the rule is that the president has to be born in the United States or in the United States territory or something. Because otherwise, that's a violation of Losucha Losefelach Ishnachus. So the founding fathers chopped that from Sefer Devarim. So the Rambam writes that if you appoint someone not from Shevet Yehuda, so not from Malchus Beis David, not the descendants of David and Melech, that's like an Ishnachri. That's like a foreign, that's like a stranger who doesn't belong as being a Melech, and that's a violation of the Torah. So it's a little bit, you seem to get contradictory vibes from the Rambam, with having Malachim, having a Jewish king, not from Shevet Yehuda, not from Malchus Beis David, is that objectively a good thing, or is that objectively a bad thing? So the Rambam in Hilchos Chanukah sounds like it's a pretty good thing, it's part of a reason to celebrate, whereas the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvah sounds like it's prohibited, it sounds like it's also, so it's hard to believe, why should you be celebrating if it's not supposed to be taking place that way? So it's unclear what the Rambam Shita is in fact about this. But one thing that does seem to be clear from the Rambam is that the Rambam is emphasizing the political sovereignty that took place at the time of Chanukah as being an integral part of the Nes itself. So when it comes to Chanukah, we have no questions, no qualms. We're going to say Hallel. According to all the different reasons Hallel applies, but on Purim, the Taka is no Hallel for one of three reasons. Is there any difference to Halacha why we don't say Hallel on Purim? At the end of the day, we don't. Does it matter what the reason is? So the Shari Tshuva, the fifth of the Mamre Kamos, so the Shari Tshuva, the Rechaim, and Simon Tafres Tzadi Gimel, so we quote the following interesting Shaila, Ein Korim by Hallel, there is a Meiri that says that according to that day in the Gemara, that reason in the Gemara, that we don't say Hallel on Purim because the Kriyas HaMegillah doubles, the Kriyas HaMegillah is motzi us from the Chiv of Hallel. And Ein Lo Megillah Likrois, but let's say a guy's on a desert island, he doesn't have a Megillah. So says the Meiri, Yoyma Hallel. He has to say Hallel with a bracha. Sure, can you show him? He says the cross Hallel, because basically there is a chiyuv Hallel on Purim. It's just that you yaitze yichiyuv by hearing the Megillah, and if you don't have the Megillah, so you have to say Hallel. A wild chiddush. No one heard of this. So the Birkei Yosef says not so simple. That Birkei Yosef calls up Kevin the Rava Amat Time and Mishum Dekat Yadah Cheshver Shanon. That Rava who got the last word in the sugya said the reason why we don't say Hallel on Purim is because of Kati Yadah Cheshver Shanon. Nothing to do with Kriyas HaMegillah doubling as a Hallel. So Lo Yom Hallel Klau Halach Ki Rava Du Basra. So basically, the Birkei Yosef and other Echararim and probably most of the Rishon don't quote such a thing. They take issue with the Meiri because the Meiri was emphasizing only one of the reasons in the Gemara. He was picking up on that one reason of Kriyas HaZuhim and Hilula and saying, oh, therefore, if that Svar doesn't apply, then you are Mechir to say Hallel. So all the other Rishon say, Mapitam, who says that's the right reason? Maybe we don't say Hallel on Purim because it's a nation of Chutzpah. Maybe we don't say Hallel on Purim because the Katya Avnei Cheshver Shanon. How do you know which is the correct reason? And others suggest that even if the Meiri's reason is right, that the ultimate reason why we don't say Hallel and Purim is nothing to do with Chutzpah, it's nothing to do with Akat Echashverish, but the only real reason why we don't say Hallel is because of Kriyas HaMegillah. When the Gemara says that Kriyas HaMegillah is Motzi Yas Achiyav, it could be what the Gemara means is as follows. Since most of the time people are going to read the Megillah, so therefore the Chachamim never instituted Hallel on Purim. The Meiri was learning that they basically did institute Hallel on Purim, and Yaitzeh the Chiyuv through the Megillah, which leads us to believe that if you don't have the Megillah, then you have the original, the initial Chiyuv of Hallel. One can think the Gemara totally different, that Chazal never instituted Kriyas Hallel on Purim, because since 99.99% of the Jews have a Megillah, so for the one guy who's stuck in the desert, we're not going to make a new mitzvah just to him. So the Meiri is a Chiddush Agabi Chiddush. He's a Chiddush that he picks up one of the three reasons. We're not sure why he was Mechir one over the other two. And then he's a Chiddush Agabi Chiddush that he's learning Pshan in that reason, that if you talk, don't have a Megillah, then you're Mechir to say Hallel. So I call upon him, if you go the route of Eid Obim Hallel, Nesha B'chutzlarts L'gamrei, that even in the time of Churban, that Ein Omim Hallel, Nesha B'chutzlarts finish, end of discussion, so then of course the Homeiri becomes irrelevant. Then obviously in the Nesha Purim, there isn't going to be Hallel. So go upon him, the cloud of Ein Omim Hallel, Nesha B'chutzlarts exists. There is such a cloud, there's no question about it. Why there's such a cloud, Mashal? One Malach, we had a slightly different Malach. Does that cloud kick in Bishas HaChurban or not? So that's the Machlokes in the Gemara. Is that related to the issue of Kedusha Rishona, Kitchel Shaita, Kitchel Asalavo? There was some Machlokes who related it. We had difficulty understanding. L'chor, this is not agricultural, therefore it's l'chor irrelevant. And within the other reasons that the Gemara says, so possible ramifications in terms of the Nesef Chanukah, that perhaps that's what prompted the Rambam to incorporate the political sovereignty aspect into the Nesef. Torah doesn't play it up as much, but the Rambam saw that as a key of Halul Avdi Hashem, below Avdi Antiochus, and how this plays out, Lamaith, in terms of Purim, whether a person really is stuck without a Megillah, whether he says Halul, will ultimately depend on which of these reasons we pass Kedah. So next week there's no shit.